more question. Now's a good time to throw it in there. What about the concessions for this show?
Oh, fuck.
Did you partake in a hot dog or something?
No, we got a piece. I got a piece of pizza. $6 piece. Of, well, actually, $5 discounted.
Yeah, I don't really know how that happened. That was pretty good.
I don't either.
For $5. It was a big fucking slice of pizza.
It was almost a huge slice. Yeah.
It was pretty much bigger than, I mean, it spilled over the round paper plate that it came on, which was good.
Right.
Around whatever styrofoam fucking
Fittingly, it was sausage pizza, so.
Yep, as Derek pointed out.
$3 for a can of Coke.
For a fucking can, yeah. Oh, which,
yeah,
by the way, somebody said something. Somebody went, one of you three went to the vending machine around the corner in our hotel and came back and said, by vending, I mean Coke machine. And I go, oh, Jake the Snake's over there? yeah, ridiculous prices. I think it was $4 for my bottle of water.
Yeah, it
oh
was.
God.
You know, seriously, it was bad.
Show. It's not like I'm out a fucking Warped Tour where I need water to
no.
survive. It's just a goddamn wrestling show.
It's a goddamn wrestling show in a goddamn rundown venue.
Yep.
Like, it definitely, yeah, it was just, it was ridiculous. And I bet you those are the prices for the concerts and everything, too.
Yep, sure.
So it just was like, oh, God, and we hadn't eaten. We had a whole adventure leading up to trying to eat before that, and we hadn't even eaten. So
yeah,
it was like,
learn,
we're
learning from our mistakes, people.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yep. It was pretty ridiculous. I mean, and there was the concession stand. There was the high spot stand on the left as you walked in, and then there was a Dragon Gate merch stand specifically for all their stuff on the right. But High Spots was the one who brought Ross and Lawler there, too, so.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, speaking of food, the popcorn match.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. Like speaking of munchies, comes Brian Kendrick.
Brian Kendrick, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
He definitely popcorn in his trunk so he could munch during the match, yeah.
He definitely looked like he'd been working WWE style. Like, it just looked like how WWE expects you to have a match in Dragon Gate. He definitely looked out of place, like he hadn't quite got his sea legs back.
He's still pulling his character, though, from WWE.
He still had the jacket and
The arms out, the smirk on his face. Everything.
It wasn't Spanky. It was the Brian Kendrick, definitely. It was.
I like
But the crowd was chanting Spanky. The crowd really respected him. They weren't, like, yelling at him or giving him shit or anything. They, you know, were chanting Spanky a good chunk of the match.
That's because they're being told over and over again by the ring announcer, please be respectful of the wrestlers.
Oh, yeah, don't swear at him, don't, you know, et cetera.
Cheer who you want, boo who you want, but above all, be respectful, because you're all a bunch of fucking smart marks, and you're going to be a part of the show, just like the wrestlers are, right?
Right.
The fucking marks are behind the curtain.
Yep.
Like, oh, sorry. Sorry, didn't mean to go off on a rant there.
Like, oh, like, if it wasn't a wrestling show, but they were taping a movie about wrestling, and the fucking... somebody decided to put themselves over and yell, we love you, Randy the Ram. Goddamn ballless fucking prick. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, seriously. Like, how many times did they give that announcement? 3 or 4?
Yeah.
Like, multiple times. Like, after almost, like, I think it was, okay, it was like 10 minutes before the show started, right after the show started, right after intermission, and then one more time they gave that same speech. It was ridiculous because they just didn't want you to really, you know, go off of their script. They expect you to cheer a certain way, so go that way.
Right.
So you're going to be part of this pay-per-view. We want you to be part of this pay-per-view too, but in the good way. Like, you're the third guy in the match, and then the crowd would just eat that shit up. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
So, yeah, Kendrick has always had this charisma about him.
Yeah.
And it kind of sad that he didn't work out in the WWF because he could have, in the right situation, really got over with them. But I guess drug problem was...
too much to overcome for little Brian Kendrick.
Like opening the untouchable gate.
Since I just called him little Brian Kendrick, too, you know, the fact that he had He's gotten a little miniature push here and there, but yeah, obviously they weren't happy about his pot use. But personality wise, fuck yeah. On a special edition of Stunt Granny Audio, all five of us talk about how pot should be legalized. Why do we care? Tune in and find out. Or go back and listen to any of our old shows. but of all the guys to put him with, Shima, I mean, there's a fucking guy who's just to the brim with charisma.
Oh, my God, yeah. It was just dripping.
When he's a heel, he's a bastard heel. But when he's a baby face, he's a smiling fucking baby face. You can, but not cheesy like Young Buckaroos.
No.
Howdy, partner.
Hi, neighbor. Come on, baby. Yep. So it was great. I mean, Shima looked like a $1 million in this.
Yeah. It was just surprisingly short.
Yep. And that's what we both kind of turned to each other. It was like, what, 8-9 minutes? Not even that long. I don't know.
What did it say, Dusty?
But Eric labeled it as 12.
Okay.
12.
But it seemed short. There was a lot of stalling, I think, at the beginning. But the actual in-ring action wasn't very long. We kind of, like, it just was sort of one-sided for most of the match. Shima just basically dominated.
Yep.
So, I mean, Shima looked good. Kendrick just looks like he's trying to feel his way around getting out of the WWE mindset.
Yeah, it's going to take a while.
Yeah. Didn't look bad, just looked like he was trying to work a Superstars match while Shima was trying to work a, you know, Dragon Gate match.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
So Kendrick loses and then kind of slithers off. And that leads us to Davey Richards. Speaking of Davey Richards from before, because he was referenced in the Danielson promo. So a bit of foreshadowing here. I would have heard that promo and figured he was going to win. I'm not saying that's bad, but it kind of gave it away a little bit.
It did. It really did.
It did. Yeah, it did in hindsight, definitely.
It also doesn't help that Chico just got busted for animal cruelty.
Yeah, exactly.
Who did? What?
Shingo.
Oh, really?
Apparently he and some other people have been holding a monkey captive and doing things like burning him with cigarettes and whatever else. So, and Dragon Gate, much like any good NFL team or Big Ten college, decided that they wanted to try to police it themselves, and the government's like, no, that's ridiculous. So they're both punishing him. And I wonder if, I don't know, I'm not Zach Arnold over here, so I don't know what the fuck's going on in Japan, but Shingo did walk out with his mullet completely cut off.
The crowd,
part of the punishment.
Yeah, the crowd just stared at him for a minute, like, what the hell? Because, you know, like, and then he was doing the rubbing your head, like after a guy loses a hair match or just gets a new haircut where he rubs his short hair. He just kept doing that over and over. Yeah, like he lost a hair match, basically. But the crowd was chanting, where's your mullet, and that kind of thing.
Which, of course, he could understand clearly because, English is his first language.
Yes. Oh, man. And then Benoit Jr. came out, and then, crowd
Davey
loved
Richards
that.
Is the third incarnation of Dynamite Kid.
He's like
Richard.
Like Tiger Mask 1, 2, and 3, and 4. He's like Dynamite 3.
Yep.
So he looked in same build, same big squat, you know, maybe 5'10".
Solid color with the slashes on him. Same Irish whip into the hooking clothesline. Obviously,
oh, yeah, the hooking clothesline was, yep, exactly.
But, and I don't know, you do what you know, you do what you like, and you have your heroes and you have your influences. And you can, I suppose, wash some of it away and say, oh, I really like the Dynamite Kid. But sometimes that stuff hits a little close to home. But I think a lot of people are starting to forgive it now. I mean, Shawn Michaels is going to keep using the Crippler crossface, whether you like him to or not.
Right.
And Davey Richards is going to continue to wrestle like Chris Benoit and look like him and be all fucking spark pluggy and stout.
He did exist, and he was a great wrestler. So I think, you know, the influence is still there. But it's still like, you know, it kind of like, there was the one point in the match where both Eric and I were just kind of staring like, oh my God, it's like Benoit's in the ring right now. I mean, it was just eerie because it was the short hook and clothesline followed by the headbutt.
Just because he's dead doesn't mean that I'm going to quit idolizing Dick Murdoch. I'm going to keep drinking until my gut gets bigger than fucking 12 of my legs together.
Sir, we start yelling, calling you Dirty Dick.
Yeah.
So.
Dirty
well, there's
Dick,
a guy
huh?
people should emulate. Love the hardcore brawler type, you know?
Yeah.
The guy with the beer gut who'll kick your ass. There needs
who may not look like the most dominating, but like a guy in a bar who would just beat the shit out of everyone.
Yeah.
That guy is missing completely nowadays.
That was Sandman's appeal when he first started. He looked like the kind of guy who just sits at the end of the bar and you start lipping off to him and he beats your ass.
You hear that scoot of the bar stool, and you know shit's on. That's
right. Gonna fight that nose off a Saigon whore.
Yep.
But as far as Davey goes, though, Jeremy has said this before. He thinks that Davey Richards would make an excellent heel, a top heel in any promotion. I agree, and we can talk about why here in a second. But as far as the match goes, this was a hard-hitting fight. This was 25.
Oh my God!
With two guys who looked like they were in a fight. It was the first match where the action really spilled out to ringside, which is a sign of a good indie booker, I think. I think that's a lesson that Gabe learned from Paul's mistakes in that, you know, you don't have blood in every match. You don't use a table in every match. You don't even use a chair in every match. You wait until match number 5 out of 6 to even go outside. You wait until match 6 out of 6 to start doing dives, you know?
Yeah.
Like that.
Did we even see blood? I don't think we did all night, did we?
There was no blood.
Okay.
So there's a lot of restraint showed in this booking, which I really think made this match even better because
This match was great. I mean, like, this was my second favorite match of 2009. It's with its flaws, but it was definitely below Shawn and Taker, but I enjoyed the shit out of this match.
Yeah.
Crowd did too. Crowd was loving it.
Because on every indie show, it seems like they always tout, you know, one of these matches is a match of the year, you know?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Every show, it's like, oh, that match, that was the match of the year. And then, like, 2 months later, they have another show in Chicago, and it's like, oh, forget about that last one. This one's the match of the year. So,
well, I didn't say it was the second best match. It was my second favorite match of the year.
Oh, no, but my point was, like, you know, this is actually so good it can stack up and live up to that high. Mm-hmm.
It had its Ring of Honor faults at the end where it was 800 finishers leading into 99 100s.
Yeah, how many times can you give a guy a Death Valley driver off the second rope and have him kick out anyway? Like I said in the write-up, you can't really call them false finishes when people really don't believe that they're going to finish a match.
Yeah.
However, I got suckered once or twice at the end of the
match. Yeah, I did too.
I think the crowd really ate it up. For a while. Oh, yeah.
The first towards, like, I think the near fall started about 18 minutes if it went 25, and they really started kicking up, and then it would be a big move, you know, a second rope DVD or some gigantic, you know, tilt-a-whirl move or whatever. It just led to the crowd just started getting more and more. And then did they yell, "Please don't stop" at one point during this match?
I think. Was it that match? I think it was that
match.
That, yes, it was.
I think it was that match because they kept going and, you know, I mean, the near falls would get closer and closer and the crowd started believing them towards the last few minutes. It was stiff.
It gets to a point where, like, the match has gone on so long, you figure it just has to be the finish.
Yeah, that's where I think we both were. I think, you know, for me, it was like, okay, this has got to be the end at some point. We've seen 37 near falls. This has got to be the 38th one's got to be the pin. No,
yeah,
there's eight more. Yeah.
So to me, that's the only way that a barrage of false finishes is effective. It's like just in the beating you into submission kind of way.
Yeah. Crowd loved it. The crowd was really, really, really into the last few minutes.
Yeah.
The chops were so loud, they weren't even the, like, smack where you, like, feel like somebody's skin. You could hear, like, both Shingo and Davey, you could hear, like, their breath escaping them when they were chopped. Like, oh! Like, they were so, the moves were so stiff the whole match. It was pretty nasty. It was good.
like I said before, it looked like they were in a pro wrestling fight.
Yep.
Sure.
So, best match of the night, for me at least. So.
It was.
Okay.
Let's move along here. Well, the Young Bucks rear their ugly heads once again.
Let me interject that Davey Richards got on the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Called out Daniel,
this is
called
important.
Out Danielson in a good way. And, you know, I want you to tell everybody here with me in the ring what you said earlier. And Danielson says, I think you are the best in the world. At which point, Richards attacks Danielson and says, I don't need your approval. I don't need anyone's approval. And just the heat that he got and the way he did it and blah, 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 the way it was booked leads me to continue to agree with what Jeremy has said before, that Davey Richards could easily be a top heel in any company.
You could see it from a mile away, but it was still done so perfectly that he came off like a total bastard.
Yep.
So it was great.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
And then the young, then Buckhouse and Rock and Roll Buck Zumhoff came to the ring.
Right.
And the crowd was pretty exhausted. Say that again?
Did Rock and Roll have his stereo with him?
Yes, he did. He had his boombox. It was playing the Lover Boy tunes and whatever. So, yeah, it was the crowd was pretty exhausted after that last match.
Yeah. But the best part about the match, honestly, was Genki Horiguchi.
Yep, agreed. H-A-G-E.
He is such a good fucking heel. He wrestled as a babyface at the in the Dragon Gate six man in Chicago before WrestleMania 22. And
yeah, he had the
whole
crowd chanting H-A-G-E. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep.
And he was using that as his Popeye spinach. Well,
yep.
And for this show, people start chanting it right away, and he gives them the, shut up, shut up,
shut up.
Oh, my God. He was so fucking good.
Oh, it was so great.
So much.
And he was covering his ears, and then his partner would cover his ears. It was just, it was so great.
It was in such stark contrast to, come on, baby!
Yeah, because you know what? The Young Bucks basically got no reaction when they came to the ring.
Yeah,
there was nobody cheering. Yeah.
The crowd was more interested in yelling at Genki to get him to react than they were at yelling at the Young Bucks to help them win.
Right.
That's not a good sign.
No, it seriously wasn't. Like, that's where we were like, oh, God. And they were getting, you know, it was such a, what you'd expect out of the Midnight Rockers on AWA, kind of getting, like pumping the fists and slapping the turnbuckles, kind of getting the crowd on their side. A little too much peddling to the crowd. Pandering, I guess, is a better word. It just didn't quite, I don't know. I hated it. I hated them.
When the Young Bucks lost, they thought, okay, Genki sprayed blue mist into the guy with the brown hair's eyes. The fucking Young Bucks pouted and yelled and screamed and stomped their feet, and they raised their hands anyway at the end of the match like they won. I mean, that's total heel shit right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
they even screamed for a bottle of water, at the ringside, and,
you know. Okay,
like,
if something was unjust as you're a babyface, you say something to the referee, but you let it go because you're going to end up cutting a promo down the road where, that wasn't right, and now I'm going to get him back. You turn your back on me one way or the other, I'm going to come at you with full force.
Yep.
When you lose the match as a babyface, you go to the ref like, hey, I had my foot on the ropes.
Yep.
And the ref's like, oh, I didn't see it.
Well, see, and that's what happened. That was the only ref bump of the night. The ref got bumped, and then the blue mist went into the brown one's eyes. The brown haired guy.
Went to the brown eye.
Yeah. Well, it was, it was a big, but like his whole face is completely covered in blue mist. But the blonde one basically started crying, like, and then he grabbed the ref and was pointing at his face, and the ref was doing the I didn't see it gesture, et cetera, et cetera. But then he's screaming, I need water. You'd think the guy would just have like a fireball go off in his face or just witnessed a bunch of actual deer get shot in front of him, a bunch of young bucks murdered in front of him. It was just like, oh, God, and it was so cheesy, and just, I don't know, I didn't believe it for 2 seconds. They came off as pussies.
And their wrestling was shitty, too.
Yeah.
They did a grand total of, like, two cool moves. And I don't mean too cool like Scotty Tuati and Grand Master Cafe.
There was no worm going on.
Two of the moves they did were cool. And otherwise, like at one point they did a combination Swanton and Flying Leg Drop. Like if you guys are going to be this fucking derivative, I'm not going to give you the time of goddamn day.
Because this really struck me as weird. You have two great matches on this show. Two standout matches. Was there any real reason that this one went on last?
No, I can't figure it out for the life of me. I think it's just a Young Buck push.
Gate.
Weren't they going for the open the dragon gate or enter the dragon legs or whatever it's called? Tag belts or, you know, I can't remember what the whole point was.
The Young Bucks wanted the tag team belts because they're the tag team of the present, and they just won a match once. And so they wanted a championship shot, Yankee and who the fuck is the other guy now? I can't even think of
I can't even remember. Rio Saito, yeah.
They decided not to give him the title shot. Well, it didn't really matter anyway because the champions won.
No, but it was an ill-placed match in that the crowd was so worn down from the Shingo Richards match that it really just – it seemed like there should have been a match after that. That was like the bring-down match.
Yeah.
It happened to be the main event. You know, it just seemed kind of ill-placed.
And instead, the match after that was –
match be a good place to finish?
Say that again, Dusty. Sorry.
What?
Say that again.
Okay. Wouldn't the Richards match be a good place to finish? A great match with the angle at the end?
Yeah, I think the only reason they did it is because the tag belts were on the line. I think that was the only belts that we, you know,
they weren't on the line.
They weren't on the line. You're right, but never mind.
Yeah.
Shit. No, I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
That one really had me scratching my head when I was reading the results. Like,
no. I think it's Gabe's attempt to really shove the Young Bucks down people's throats.
See, that's a mistake. You gotta let them go on their own.
Yep, it's a big mistake, and the crowd really didn't, I don't know. I mean, I've heard a lot of buzz about the Young Bucks, and so I was curious to see them, and I was like, meh. I'll just put in my heat match where they job to the acolytes, So, I get the same gist.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the real main event of the evening was after we left and we got on the public transit bus. And
the 52.
Some girl who was trying to go out drinking with her friends and find her bachelorette party or whatever started chatting with us at the bus stop. And then Derek Steller tried to give her his Dragon Gate inflatable red hot wieners that people were slapping together. She's like, nah, that's okay.
Oh, swing and a miss, Derek.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Then we tried to go to Kuma's for a second time, Kuma's Corner. We tried to go before the show and then ran out of time because there was like an hour wait. And then we came afterwards because it said it was open till midnight. So we get there at 9:45. They said, the kitchen's only open for another 15 minutes. Oh, fuck. So we haven't really eaten all day.
Yeah.
So we go scouring all over Chicago for food.
On the Sunday night of Labor Day weekend.
Yep.
Right.
We end up closing out a McDonald's in downtown Chicago.
Yeah. I'm like, Saturday night, I'm like, dude, let's go downtown, even if it's only for one drink. We got as far as Sports in Schaumburg. Sunday, we were going to go to Kuma. Too long of a wait before the show, too long of a wait after the show. Let's find something kick-ass. Let's go grab some fucking kick-ass Chicago food. Oh,
yep.
McDonald's. let's walk fucking 72 city blocks until we find somewhere to land until the train comes 2 hours later. We find pretty much the only bar in town that serves beer.
Elephant and Castle. Yep. Elephant and Castle.
Yeah, so we did not at all get the Chicago experience.
No, we did get the bunch of drunk chicks be like, whoa! Just yelling for like 15 solid minutes.
And if you can't find that in your own hometown, then move. Cause,
I know, exactly.
Old drunk chicks scream everywhere.
Yep. That was all we got. So, Then we ended up going back to Schaumburg and bullshitting for. Oh wait, on the way there there was a guy on the train who looked exactly like Downtown Bruno. We were even calling him Downtown Bruno, and he realized we were talking about wrestling. He goes, "Do you guys you guys remember Rick Rude?" And we're like, "Oh shit, he knows his wrestling." and then he starts to ask. Yeah, go ahead.
As long as he didn't realize that we were talking about him when we were saying Downtown Bruno. I think either Derek or Steve, I think, coined the phrase Downtown Waltman because he almost looked like Sean Waltman also.
Yep.
So he tried to talk to us about wrestling. But then on the train ride back, there's some scurvier dude that looked even more like Downtown Bruno somehow.
Yep.
Who also overheard us from like four cars away and decided to walk over and sit down next to us. Y'all remember Bertha Faye? Y'all remember Bastion Booger? Like, he would mention a wrestler's name, and then we would talk about that wrestler for maybe 30 seconds. Y'all remember that Mr. Perfect?
You remember that Triple Cage of Fear? And they kept talking about how they didn't use that enough.
That was classic. That was classic stuff. Z Gangsta. Not classic, but then he was just smart enough to say, you know, smart Mark enough to say, "Oh, Kane, yeah, he used to be Isaac Yankum."
Yep.
We
nod, and then Eric and I were sitting in front of Derek and Steve, and we just turned back and like look at them and try to ignore the guy who was sitting in a car or a seat ahead of us. But then he never got to hint the whole hour long ride. He just turned around and say, "Do you remember?" And then insert wrestler X or angle X, and it's just like, oh god.
I would just say, no, I don't remember Bertha Faye.
Yeah. Ask him, "Do you remember Genki Horiguchi?"
Yeah, he was great, man. Yeah.
What kind of chat bullshit are you talking about? Oh, y'all, I'm giving him a southern accent. He didn't have one, but whatever.
Yeah, I know, but he definitely had like the social scabies.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was like, oh, God. And his big fat friend across from him just sat there and was texting the entire time and, like, basically ignoring him. So he just kept turning to us and then saying something and then, oh, God, do you remember? And it just kept going and going. So it just became our joke the whole weekend.
Well, the only way to get rid of a guy like that is to either talk about wrestlers that you know he's never heard of or else start making out. Because then
Jordan actually managed to escape because the train ride was really long, but we were sitting in a spot where we couldn't hear over the PA system what the next stop was. So
yeah.
Jordan tried to give us a cop out or a way out or whatever you want to call it.
I did. I was like, "You guys should come back here."
Exactly. But I think, I don't know if we were all being too big-hearted at the time or what. We just kept sitting there, and the guy kept fucking chatting in my ear because that's where I was sitting. All the while, fucking throw us under the bus. Jordan was on the other end of the train car listening to the city.
Your ass out again.
It
was the Schaumburg Improv Comedy Club all over again.
Oh, fuck.
You could tell how the, you know, Chicago, wrestling's big in Chicago, because what are the odds of the two guys we even, like, half notice or whatever on the train hear us talking about wrestling and then make references that aren't like, "You remember Steve Austin?" It's like the first guy mentioned like the Andersons and the Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, and this guy was mentioning like, you know, the Isaac Yankum thing. So it wasn't like your generic level of knowledge. So it was like,
you know, John Cena.
Yeah, exactly. I love DX. So yeah. It was really bizarre.
I just put in Monday Night Raw tapes and masturbate to the DX segment.
Like, are you ready? I
not
yell
yet,
to myself as I
second.
Get. Let's get ready to rub it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So that was our Sunday.
Yep.
So,
and then I'm pretty sure just Monday.
Old Schaumburg, huh?
to Schaumburg. Yeah, Schaumburg R Us. What, we just went back to the room and all chilled out,
yeah,
right?
After we got lost, completely lost on our way back, but we found it.
Yep.
Okay. All right, so
technology
then,
failed us again.
As
it was a long day and night.
As is wont to happen, Sunday turned to Monday, and yeah. Monday Night Raw.
That
was. Was it just you two then, or did Derek and Steve go with you?
Derek and Steve left in the middle, like, what, noon, less than maybe 10, 11, somewhere in there?
Yeah, 10, 11, something like that. They had
we spent the morning basically watching YouTube wrestling clips and reciting every promo we knew and et cetera, et cetera. We had a nerdy morning.
People, you need to look this shit up. Go to YouTube and type in Jumping Jeff Farmer.
Oh, my God, yes.
And you will find what is labeled the best wrestling promo ever. It's the worst wrestling promo ever. It makes fucking Ken Patera look like a goddamn Abraham Lincoln level orator.
He gave his I have a dream speech.
Yeah, no, this interviewer who looked like a discount Larry Nelson.
Yes, Larry Nelson, but worse. Yeah.
Standing in front of a plain gray wall and introducing a promo that was recorded earlier in front of the same gray wall. Let's hear what Jeff Farmer has to say. And then the announcer, I'm here with Jumpin' Jeff Farmer. So-and-so did this and this and that to you, and this and that's going to happen next. Yep. And then there's this really long pause after, yep. And he looks like he's going to cry the whole time. He's so fucking scared out of his wits. First of all, he's like a half the size of the interviewer.
He looks like Colin Delaney, basically.
Oh, God, he wishes he looked like Carl. Colin Delaney looks like a fucking poster boy next to this doofus. And then you going to stab me in the back? I'm going to wrestle you. Anyway, just look it up. I can't do it fucking justice. My
no,
favorite
there's
part of
no
the whole thing was, yep.
Yep. Thanks, Derek, for showing us that one.
Yeah, fuck yes.
That was awesome. We had so much fun with it.
Yep. Then after those guys took off.
Fake Sting?
No, not the same guy.
Different.
Jeff Farmer.
And it's the unibrow version of Matt Stryker, like that one, the one that didn't achieve as much fame.
Yeah,
right, there you go.
Okay.
Good parallel.
So, yep.
So then, yeah, after downing the Continental Breakfast, which, man, what a fucking motley crew of misfits we were walking down there.
Oh, ironically, Jeff Farmer was setting up for his match with Motley Cruz was the guy's name.
That was the guy's name, Motley Cruz.
Nice.
Anyways, yeah.
Dusty for you to watch it. Those guys took off, and then Jordan and I decided that a good idea for a place to eat. We've already done the Stonewood Lodge. We didn't really want Wendy's or Arby's or whatever. But there was a Denny's about 20 paces away. I'm telling you, man, we're giving ourselves the Chicago treatment over here.
Oh, yeah.
Really, it was just a way for us to save some money. We went to Denny's, got lunch, and the guy there he was talking shit. He was helping me with my fucking order because I'm an idiot when it comes to Denny's. I didn't know what came with this side. Oh, this doesn't do. We don't serve that at this time. And he was a big help, so we gave him a big tip. And then to fast forward after Monday Night Raw, we actually went back to Denny's because we had such a good time there the first time. And the zesty nachos look so goddamn good in the picture that how could we resist?
We actually were like, let's go to Raw and then come back and get these zesty nachos. And we did.
Yep.
So it was good. It was really, I mean, it was a lot cleaner and a lot less meth friendly than most Denny's I've been to.
Yeah. And what's kind of sad though is we made up our mind about Denny's twice in that day. Like, we purposely said, yep, we're going to Denny's. Yep. And so what we did was we decided to walk off our big lunch by going to the real mall that was nearby. Jesus Christ, they had everything you can imagine. P.F. Chang's, fucking Mongolian
Brazilian
barbecue.
Steakhouse, and yep.
Steakhouse, we're like, what the fuck are we doing in Denny's? This is goddamn up half a mile away. So,
oh, man.
Anyway, just a fucking, that's kind of like a nutshell of our weekend, basically.
Yep.
Gotcha. So Monday Night Raw, you don't have to go through what happened.
No.
Because everybody knows or can look it up if they don't know. But,
right.
Talk about the Allstate Arena. Like, is that a nice arena, you know?
You can tell that it's kind of old school. I've never been to anything at the United Center, and I know the United Center at this point is 15 years old. But from what I've seen of it, that is a much more modern building. You can still see a lot of wood rafters going on at the Allstate Arena. The architecture makes sense, not to get into Kevin's territory, but you know, at least all the seats point to the middle, so that's good. It's not so steep that you can't, you know, you fear falling out of a balcony or booth or something like that. It's good. It's a good size. There's not a bad place. You literally, where we were sitting, you can't see the Titantron. That's fine because there were big screens hanging above the ring too, so you could watch those. Otherwise, it's not like when we were sitting up at goddamn the, you know, fucking Bob Uecker's great granddad's seats for Orlando. Where you couldn't make shit out, you had to watch the big screens. You can see the wrestlers plain as day in the ring from any seat in that building, which is pretty much exactly the same way in any 18,000 to 20,000 seat arena. To go off of things that Bobby Heenan has said in the past, and as far as I'm concerned, I've said in the past because I have, and we all agree with this. Chicago is, and you said this earlier, Jordan, a great wrestling town.
Oh my God,
people were hot for everything. They gave Bob Barker the applause of a lifetime. They love MVP.
Mm-hmm.
They even loved Evan Bourne. Like I said at one point, you know, they were cheering guys based on the level of push that they're getting. Like Evan Bourne wasn't getting cheered as much as MVP, but they still loved him. Reacting at all the appropriate times, I guess, booing very vocally when they were supposed to boo.
Yep.
Just a good, solid bunch of people. They didn't stink. Same with Dragon Gate. These people surprisingly did not stink.
No.
Like Ring of Honor fans smell awful, but Dragon Gate fans apparently bathed before the show, so that's good.
Well, either that or the venue was big enough that the stink was hidden.
Right. I really have to do something about that exhaust fan.
Yes, whoop our hats. It was a lot of kids and people of all races and creeds. It was a really good crowd. Like, crowd was very, very, very pro Cena and DX. Like, especially where we were sitting up in the cheap seats. It was glow sticks as far as the eye can see, you can't see me shirts and et cetera. You know. I mean, they were lively. They were all into everything. The kids behind us knew the words to everybody's theme song. Like,
the whole night,
they just kept singing, like, MVP's theme or even Swagger's, they knew.
Yeah,
so,
that was weird.
Because that's what it's geared for.
Exactly. So you could kind of see it working, and I was, you know, kind of curious how they'd give Bob Barker a reaction, but it was deafeningly loud when he came out.
Yeah.
Awesome. He's a great man.
Yep.
Yeah. A hero, a legend, and a fine man.
It was really entertaining live, and especially, like, before Raw, there was, like, a 10-minute gap in between the Superstars tape. Well, probably 15. Between the two matches they taped for Superstars and Raw, so they say, you know, change the tarp, change everything. I saw them wheel four, like, stages. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to do a Price is Right thing. You could see them setting up for it. And to cut to after the show, even the guys who said, you know, the stage guys were taking pictures, all wore the Price is Right name tags, and were taking pictures in front of the set they had set up. Like, you could tell they were really proud of what they had done. It was kind of
really
awesome.
And really giddy about the novelty of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it was. And somebody made this point on our forum, something about, Bob Barker was just a distraction for a terrible wrestling show or a terrible booking or whatever. I concur to a point. I mean, here's a point I want to make that's not quite related to the whole Chicago weekend, but we've been talking about even Steven booking, and we know there's a history of guys wanting their win back. I don't think Jericho's that type of guy. In fact, I think he really, really wants to build for the next generation of wrestlers and fans.
Right.
But I don't think he's smart to do that.
Unlike what some experts might say, I think he has and will continue to do that.
Yes, he will. I absolutely agree.
I agree.
The bookers, or the writers or whatever you want to call them see it that way. I don't think they have that mentality. And you go back to somebody like a Hogan, you know, he brings Ultimate Warrior to WCW to get his win back. We all worried, is he gonna try to fight Brock Lesnar one more time to get his win back? The shitty thing is, Chris Jericho beat MVP last week.
For no good reason.
Yeah, and we've talked about the even Steven booking and this and that. I almost feel like wrestlers are getting their win back before they even lose. And that's even worse. That's an even worse way to go about it.
Yep.
So, anyway, the wrestling was good. I mean, it was actually, I kind of jotted down really what happened on the show. What we saw was an 8-match card with a whole bunch of shit involved, like Bob Barker and backstage skits and this and that and the other thing. But as far as I'm concerned, we saw a really good 8-match wrestling show.
Yep.
There were good tag matches, singles matches, a good main event, star power with John Cena.
Great opener with MVP and Jericho. I mean, it was really
the opener. I mean, the opener with Alex Riley versus Jamie.
Well, I mean, opener for Raw. I mean, you know, great Raw opener. Yeah, the Alex Riley thing was pretty entertaining. His mom in the crowd.
Oh, precious.
Aw, hugs.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was a dark match, too. So you know that, but Alex Riley from Florida Championship Wrestling is making the rounds. And, yeah, we're pretty sure that it was his mom sitting along the aisleway that he went over and gave a nice kiss on the cheek to.
Does he have a gimmick?
No. Right now? He's a 6'2" blonde guy.
He really does blend in with everybody else. He looks like Swagger and Orton and pretty much everybody else. But,
yep, and Ted DiBiase and, everybody you can think of.
But he's doing everything right. I mean, he's getting a lot of the little things right. So he's going to be a good professional wrestler down the road.
Okay.
So, But you could definitely tell who was driving the merchandise and who the people were there to see. And to WWE's credit, they gave them that. They gave them that in spades with DX and Orton. The crowd hated Orton, but in the way where he got tons of reaction. And Cena, So it was, they got what they paid for. Except for, we got the bonus of burial of Chris Masters again. So
they signed him just to bury him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like it.
So
hair plugs and all.
That kind of bullshit needs to stop. The
I know.
Person on television only punishes the fans, too.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
If that's what you're going to do with Chris Masters, I'd rather not see him at all.
Right.
Exactly.
I'd rather not see him at all, no matter what you did with him, but
still.
Well,
I'm just saying, make him interesting or don't make him.
Yep.
There you go.
I mean, seriously, Eric even pointed out his Titantron is from his last run. He still has a goatee, and he's about 40 pounds heavier.
Sure.
They didn't even bother changing it. Like, it's the exact same video. So.
Unreal.
Of all the people to bring back.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I know. That's really what I told Eric during the middle.
Yeah, did they really think that these, 9-year-old kids that are watching wrestling right now are going to remember this dude from when they were 6 and he was getting jobbed out and... Poor decision. I know he's a warm body, but it's not like he's a memorable name.
Nope, but he's friends with Orton, so that'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm dying for them to bring Rene Dupree back, because I really need something in him.
Yeah.
You know what, though? They could hit the reset button with him. They could do anything with him.
He's been gone long enough, and he didn't do anything, and he's so young. Yeah, they could do whatever the hell they wanted with him.
Exactly.
So.
Yep. And it's kind of funny because Eric turned to me and goes, what are the odds, during the night when it was Chavo versus Evan Bourne, goes, what are the odds that in 2009 you'd see Chavo Guerrero on Raw? And it was kind of like, holy shit. And of all...
It's of a program that people have a reaction to, caring at all, hating or liking.
I know. And I've just said, what are the odds that he was the only one from the Invasion that's still on the roster?
Well, we know what happened to Sean O'Hare.
Yep. Yeah. Anything you don't already know?
I think that's pretty much sums up the arena. It was okay. You can tell that it was the older arena in town. The fans, good fans. The same
great,
though that
great fans.
Great
yep.
fans. The only problem I have with the fans was trying to get out of the fucking parking lot.
Oh my god.
Jeez,
that was
like,
actually my next question.
Yeah, it was mob mentality.
There was no rhyme or reason to the parking structure. Like, there were no, like okay, there's no, like, drive, and then you park in this section, and this section's for getting out or in of the arena. No. Just wherever the hell you go, everybody goes out the same exit, so people would cut lanes, and there would still be cars parked in the middle of where you needed to go. It was just a total disaster. What'd we get, the Pro Championship Wrestling flyer?
Yeah, the piece of shit that was made in Microsoft Publisher.
Yeah, that was on Microsoft Publisher. And said, if you want to be a wrestler, call this number.
Yeah, like, no, I don't want to be a wrestler that bad. There was a guy handing out these flyers, though, right outside the door, as happens after wrestling shows, concerts, whatever, street team members handing out paraphernalia. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
But he said, come to the shows, Velvet Sky, Angelina Love, Superfly Jimmy Snuka, someone's going to take their top off. And I turned to him, I go, yeah, it's probably going to be Jimmy Snuka. And he's like, well, maybe. You have to come to the show to find out. Well, okay, you're doing your job.
So you just suggested that it might be you doing the Oscar. I was going to go see it, but now I'm sorry.
Yeah, you just ruined it for me.
Oh, well, maybe next time.
Right,
yep.
Yeah. I think after that, we pretty much just went back to the hotel again. Laquita crashed out, and then by 9 o'clock the next morning, we were in the car. By 10 o'clock, you were at your stop. I almost ran you over because you ran in front
yep.
of the car.
Well, because you dropped me in the middle of, like, a three-lane road, and there was traffic coming at me, so I decided to go to the middle.
Yeah, I didn't realize the light was going to turn green when it did.
Yeah, I know.
So,
yeah, you almost ran me over, but I avoided.
But you forgave.
Yep.
And then,
died that way in Chicago.
It was easy to get out, though. It was literally, again, turn right on Congress, then drive 140 miles, then another 180 miles, and I was home.
Yeah.
So that helped.
No, it was a great weekend. I enjoyed it. It was the perfect, like I told Eric, it was like the perfect combination of what I love about wrestling. Like, one night was just great wrestling action, just great, you know, lots of moves, lots of this. And the next night was just all spectacle and entertainment.
Yeah, that's all WWE is. That's what people on the internet understand. Just a show. You're not going to see good wrestling, you know? And it's downright, it's very entertaining.
That's what people want. They want to be entertained.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I'm not even going to make the entertained reference again. Actually, to digress a little bit, we talked about going to Denny's. Actually, we were driving around the parking lot of the hotel trying to get out, and Steve and Derek saw the Denny's, and they're like, well, we're waiting for the prettiest Denny's waitress reference. I hate to put a kibosh on my end of this conversation, but my battery.
Is your phone dying?
My phone's dying. I'm in the grocery store parking lot because I need cereal for the morning. And Dusty, it sounds like your phone's breaking up.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, my phone is fine, but I'm not hearing that.
Yeah, I think it might be time to wrap this.
Yeah, to wrap this bad boy up.
Okay, well, Jordan is just a fair knight in shining armor.
Woo!
He's a lowly serf, and I am just a fair and simple king. And in another edition of Sound Brand Audio, we are going to attempt to be better next time. We'll fail.